Anyone familiar with theater and arts in New York City has seen the work of architect Hugh Hardy. He's probably best known for his public spaces. They restored Radio City Music Hall, the Cafe at Bryant Park, the Brooklyn Academy of Music's Harvey Theater, and among his notable projects outside the city is the U.S. Federal Courthouse in Jackson, Mississippi. And we have a slideshow of several of his projects on our show page at WNYC.org. Mr. Hardy discusses his 50 years of work and experience in a new book called Theater of Architecture. It's out from Princeton Architectural Press, and I'm very pleased that it brings Hugh Hardy back to our show today. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Your book's title, The Theater of Architecture, suggests performance. You began as an assistant to set designer Joe Melziner, didn't you?
Yes, yes. So
were you working on Rodgers and Hammerstein Productions, Tennessee Williams?
It's absolutely true. Sweet Bird of Youth was something that I drew.
The Paul Newman version, the first version of Broadway?
The original version, yes, yes. And, you know, Joe was at a moment in American theater, unlike anything we now can appreciate, where Broadway truly was a creative place. It wasn't a factory. It was truly a place of exploration. And he did almost all the Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals. He did Gypsy. I remember drawing the hotel room in Gypsy. And he was an amazing, amazing talent. Also because he not only made scenery, he did lighting. He could transform those little tiny boxes that New York stages are into an amazing world.
Well, you have done work on a number of theaters yourself, but do you think, then you were working on sets, do you think of your buildings as theatrical settings of some sort?
No. When I titled the book Theater of Architecture, I knew people would think it's a book about theater design. It isn't. It's a book about how work in the theater has influenced me and I think made me a better architect, because I think that my profession is so sealed inside itself, so self-referential, so it's sort of a priesthood in some ways. And it should be about the public, because nothing is more public than the buildings we make. And nothing is more public than the streets of New York.
And you say in this book that the purpose of architecture is not to make things, but to create experiences for the public.
Experience is the key word. And I'm interested to see it appearing every now and then more and more as a part of the evaluation of what projects are.
Well, do you think that that's true of all design, creating experience for an audience of some kind?
Yes, if you could stretch it and say so. But the thought is that it's not about surfaces and shapes and colors and forms. They result from the ideas that generate the experience.
Your architecture firm, H3 Hardy Collaborative Architecture, produced a video trailer for this book.
Yes.
And in that, you say that in the 50s, architecture was formulaic, not interested in the past and kind of boring.
True. It was for me. Now, of course, there are great classic achievements from that era with Skidmore, Owings & Merrill.
The Lever House. And the Seagram Building is a pretty nice building.
And you could add Eero Saarinen to that, but for whom I worked. But he was a revisionist in many ways and was exploring in a way that I found stimulating and in which the so-called modernist movement, for me, wasn't. And besides, by the time I was a kid trying to make buildings, it had become sort of old news.
Well, Joe Melziner and Eero Saarinen worked together to design the Beaumont Theater at Lincoln Center. And did you work on that?
Yes, I was translating between them because they operated on different wavelengths.
Well, do you think that the Lincoln Center complex is a good example of modern architecture in a way that something like Rockefeller Center is?
Well, Lincoln Center is complicated because the original buildings were designed by people who had never done theaters before. And it was very brave and quite wonderful. The thought that you would reinvent Carnegie Hall, and nobody built a concert hall for over 50 years, and certainly not in New York.
And Avery Fisher Hall has suffered ever since, hasn't it?
Well,
they keep on trying to fix it.
They're going to try one more time now, I believe. And they are much more aggressive about thinking one could start over. You can't, of course, demolish it because, although not a landmark, it is so much a part of the Lincoln Center complex that it would be wrong.
Now, they got the Met pretty well right, didn't they? Why, after all these years of designing concert halls, do we still not turn out perfect ones?
Well, we all have
different. Is this like Stradivarius's? You can never make a violin as good today as you did in the 17th century?
The 18th capacity century? Of Philharmonic Hall is so much greater than traditional halls were. They were built like musical instruments at large scale. It's hard to do that when you have thousands of people to contend with.
Is it fun to work on something that's already there? You've done some pretty extraordinary theater restorations, Radio City Music Hall and the Harvey Theater at BAM. Two totally different kinds of projects.
Yes, they certainly are. And the Harvey upset a lot of people, because they wanted to know when it was going to be finished.
And now they think it's perfect.
Well, it was criticized as radical chic, you know, that it was being chic to abandon things and leave them in a state of ruin. It really wasn't about that. It was Peter Brook who led the idea forward, that this was about time, about the layers of time. You know, he went all over the world producing theater in places that were not theaters, quarries and mountainsides, and he wanted to get the theater to be out of those little jewel boxes.
But does that also, the approach that finally was taken, is that a kind of a showing of respect for the past?
Oh, I think so.
Because I remember the Majestic Theater when it was a movie theater.
Yes.
And,
oh, good for you.
And I used to go there as a kid to see triple features. Well, it was considered the worst theater in downtown Brooklyn.
Well, as you know, it went downhill and became a church. It never became porno, and then it just died. And when I first went into it, it was like a Jacques Cousteau movie. Everything was squishy. It was quite an extraordinary place.
So you decided to actually make it look aged.
Well, that was, again, Peter Brook. And Harvey needed to get, he felt, in the ambitious revival of BAM, he needed to get Peter Brook to bring a production here. And Peter said there's no theater he wanted to be seen in because they were all too pretty.
But then you added a very modern glass canopy.
Well, that was later. But the idea of using the layers of time as a part of the environment, you can actually see decoration from the church, from the movie house, from the original, all there side by side.
And set designers have loved it ever since because they kind of incorporate that look into their sets. Well, if you're doing a Greek tragedy, it looks like you're doing it in an ancient theater.
But you know, we've changed the relationship between the audience and the performer because we've brought the stage up so that the focus of the room is actually in front of the proscenium. And it makes a huge difference. I've seen all kinds of different productions there.
Now, Radio City Music Hall was a totally different kind of project. You had to kind of restore it to its past glory.
Absolutely. I know of no finer public room than Radio City. It's a very sophisticated place. And but you know, in my profession, you get so involved with yourself, you forget that other people's architecture is worthy of respect. And I have no problem that we worked like mad to put back what had originally been there.
I am always disappointed when something is added on to a great work of architecture and it looks like a totally separate kind of thing instead of trying to incorporate the look of the previous building.
That's a long discussion about old and new. And well worth having sometime.
But not now. But it's something you must have thought about a lot because you've done so many
all of the work
projects of that sort.
It's about the relation of one to the other and also about public space. I mean, that's what the theater has taught me.
Hugh Hardy has written a book called Theater of Architecture. It's published by Princeton Architectural Press with wonderful photographs in it and drawings, which give you a real sense of what the life of an architect is like. The U.S. Federal Courthouse in Jackson, Mississippi seems like a departure. It's public, but not in arts or performance space. Can you tell us about that project?
Well, it's odd because it has to be a welcoming experience for the federal government to preside over the law. On the other hand, most of the people who go there are not happy. It's a very bad day when they have to go to the courthouse, by and large. And so making a building that would receive people and make them feel welcome and open instead of many courthouses, especially contemporary ones, work like mad to impress you with the majesty of the law. And they are very powerful, dominant. And our thought was to be much more lighthearted about all of that.
Well, the big concern today seems to be security. So
No
matter where you go, you walk in and you're immediately searched and made to feel like you may be one of the criminals.
Well, we have, of course, done all that, and it changes all the time. So we've made it a separate experience, and it will change. In 10 years, they'll do differently.
Are there any similarities between the architectural challenge of a theater and a courtroom?
Oh, yes, very much, because seeing and hearing are interrelated. And if you see well, you hear well. The courthouses we have in this city are impossible. If you serve on jury duty, you can't hear what's being said. But the public space, you know, we're about to open soon the public space at Pier A. And Pier A is the oldest pier in the city. It was built not for the public. It's never been used by the public before. It has a tower at the end, which is the clock tower memorial to the First World War. And it's becoming, because of Battery Park City, in next spring, it'll actually be a series of banquet halls and restaurants and rooms for the public. And it's the end of West Street.
Is this something new in architecture? We have the High Line doing again, kind of rescuing something that could have been torn down, and now you have Pier A, the same sort of thing.
Well, I think there's much more interest in the city in public space. It used to be the only space we had was the street, and there were parks if you wanted recreation, but there wasn't any real communal life except in the streets. Now these public places, these plazas, these activities, and the High Line having been created by the private sector, Battery Park City is remarkable because it's the public sector.
But there was always a sense that New York didn't respect its past.
True.
And that's something that's changing. Chicago, which is a newer city, you have a feeling of real history.
True. Well, although they've done some horrible things with some of their finest buildings. And the thought of trivializing them by saving little pieces and putting them in museums is, to me, horrible.
On the other hand, we had one Louis Sullivan building here, and we pretty much destroyed it by stripping it of all of the things that made Louis Sullivan building so beautiful.
Which is that?
It's on Bleecker Street. It's
no, that's not fair.
Well,
it's still there.
It's still there.
With its wonderful angels at the top.
Yeah.
And they've actually restored terracotta at street level.
Yeah, more recently.
Yeah.
The World Trade Center may be the most high-profile project in New York, and it's been getting it's been going on for years now. They just put that the spire on. What do you think of its design? A lot of people have criticized it because it has to be almost like a bunker with concerns about security.
Well, there's definitely two different things. One is the street-level experience, which I don't know. It isn't yet complete. But it clearly is going to be set apart. The other is how it relates to the city itself. And the famous skyline of New York, of course, is changing all the time. But for me, the current shape, so abstract, so dominant, seems to have nothing to do with anything. I think it's an unfortunate interruption. I don't think it's a contribution.
And now architects are going to have to think, especially if they're building near the waterfront, about all sorts of things they didn't have to concern themselves with in the past. Hurricane Sandy seems to have changed all of the equations.
It certainly changed Pier A because there was 3 feet of water higher than anyone had ever imagined. And it survived because of the planning that we had put in. And also, it was built in the 19th century on an amazing foundation, the only one in the city like it. Most city piers are just logs stuck into the mud. This was actually constructed with granite arches below water level, etc. And putting all the mechanical equipment up in the air, which Wall Street has learned is a good idea was inherent from the beginning. So I'm very proud of the fact that it has worked well.
Well, architects have often complained that New York is maybe one of the hardest cities in the world to work in. Has that changed?
No. Is it going to? No. Because the joy of this place is its diversity. But trying to find consensus and trying to get all the layers of regulations to operate with bureaucracy, that's tough, and it isn't going to be less.
And in other cities, like Chicago, there are alleys between yep. buildings, which makes all sorts of things like garbage collection a lot easier. We don't have that. We put them all chock-a-block, so you'll have a brilliant building next to a really mediocre building, and they kind of negate each other.
Could be. But it's those juxtapositions that are part of the life of the city. It really is the character of New York. If it were monoculture, it wouldn't be New York.
So you still do most of your work here in New York?
Well, we're building a museum in Biloxi, Mississippi. We like being a part of the larger picture.
His book is Theater of Architecture. It is published by Princeton Architectural Press. My great thanks to Hugh Hardy for being on our show again.
Thank you.